Today is Holy Trinity Sunday. It is a day the church has set aside and invited Christians around the world to spend today thinking about God, just as God, the nature of God. Who is God and what is God like, and what is God like in God's identity all by itself? Now, the temptation is for us to run to the doctrines of the church and to pull out all the different pieces of the prayer book that talk about it, which I did for the Sunday school class. Here they are. But I'm afraid that if I start doing this in the pulpit, you'll get your phone out. And it'll look like you're taking notes. But I know better. You will be checking Facebook. So we're not going to do that. Holy Trinity is one of those days that is also well-respected to hand to the curate. You know, it's just hard. It's a hard sermon to preach. My preaching professor said that if you preach for more than 5 minutes on Trinity Sunday, you are preaching heresy. So normally you hand it to the curate. I think Mike Addis has preached 5 Trinity sermons since I've been here. And I would give it to my curate, I really would, but she's preaching for Billy Tweedy down in the Church of the Resurrection in Austin, because a lot of clergy actually go on vacation on Holy Trinity Sunday. So what do we do with this? What do we do with this? Well, I think we have to deal with this like we deal with all doctrine of the church. You know, when you start thinking about doctrine, we kind of naturally, especially as Episcopalians, because we're kind of an intellectual lot, we want to put it up into some ethereal head game where we are trying to get it all right and get all the little categories and all the little columns right, and we can say, yes, we understand that doctrine, whatever that is. And it sort of stands out there all by itself. We almost go, yay, rah, and it doesn't really seem to have much to do with anything. But that's actually not the nature of doctrine. You know, part of it is we think that doctrine is this orthodox thing that's been handed down. You know, the definition of orthodoxy is that thing upon which all Christians have agreed throughout time. Well, that by itself ought to make you scratch your head for a minute, because what would that be exactly? That's not the nature of doctrine either. Doctrine is actually much more fluid than that. And while it was sort of fixed for us in the 3rd, 4th, 5th century, it is actually incredibly alive. It's an incredibly important part of our life. The great pulpiteer Thomas Long says this. He said, Christian doctrines tend to originate like river bridges built by armies. That is, they are assembled on the fly in the season of need and are crafted in the field to bear the weight of a people marching on a mission. You got 38 people in blue t-shirts right here in the front of the church. And they are getting ready to march on a mission. And doctrine matters. Have you thought that actually the doctrine of the Holy Trinity has a whole lot to do with why you are actually going on this trip in the first place? No, probably not. Never gave it a thought. But it does. It really matters, because it's about the nature of God. It's who is God, what is God like, what does God care about, and that's the only reason we are in the room together. The only reason we're here is we believe there is a God. And we believe that that God is in a relationship with us, and that that God cares about the world that God made. That's doctrine. That's what the doctrine of the church is about. And so it's not this thing that we keep crafted in our head. And to help us understand that, the people who put the lectionary together started this whole conversation about the Trinity not with, we believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, unified and one thing and yet three things. No. Starts with once upon a time. Once upon a time in the beginning, long time ago, before there was anything, when darkness and void covered everything, there was nothing at all, well, except God. And don't ask me where that came from. I don't know where God came from. God just always has been, and God will always be. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said, let there be lights in the heavens, and it will illuminate the earth. God said, let's separate the earth from the heavens. God said, let's separate water from land, and it happened. God said, let there be plants and let there be birds in the air and let's put sea monsters in the ocean. That would be awesome. And it happened. God said it, and it happened. God said, let there be people. We'll create them, and they'll be like us. And we'll create them in our image. And male and female, he created them. And we'll give them dominion over everything. God said, and it happened. And then we work all the way through the rest of the book of Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, all the prophets, all of these stories that are about a God that says things and things happen. God says and it happens. God whispers into the ear of the prophets and they say and it happens. Wait, so we just learned something else really important about God. God says and things happen, but God gave people the power to say and make things happen, to bring things into being. Well, you know what happens when you realize there's something bigger than you are in the universe? You either decide to fall in love with it or try to kill it, right? So they tried to kill it. They tried to kill God, which when you say it out loud like that, that seems kind of silly, doesn't it? You can't kill the thing that brought you into being, right? But they tried. And so God said, I'll show them how it's supposed to work. So God becomes one of us. The Son steps down from the right hand of the Father and becomes the person of Jesus of Nazareth and walks around on the earth and shows people what human beings are supposed to look like. And he said things and things happened. He said, be healed, and people were healed. He said, be forgiven, and people believed them. He said, be free, and they were exercised. He said, you are of more value than all the sparrows. And they knew who they were. And they felt the love of God. And the people who believed it fell in love with him. But then other people were scared of him. And so they tried to kill him. And they did. For a minute. They killed him and they put him in a hole in the ground thinking that would be the end of that. And God said, get that stone out of the way. And Jesus walked back out. And Jesus said, I am going to send you a spirit. You, those who are left, those who still believe, I'm sending you a spirit, and it's going to empower you, and you are going to go into the world, and you are going to say. And that's the last thing that we have. So we started with the in the beginning, and then our last lesson for today is the gospel, the very end of the gospel according to Matthew, where Jesus gathers all of the rest of his followers, 11. He had 11 left. And he says to them on a mountain, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And I am giving it to you. And I want you to go out and to baptize people in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit and teach them all of my commandments. And I will be with you to the end of the age. That sounds huge, doesn't it? That sounds huge. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. But if we look at the picture, it's kind of silly. There's 11 of them. It's Jesus and 11 people. And they are surrounded by the Roman Empire. One guy says to 11 people, all authority has been given to me, and I'm giving it to you. And you go, and you say, and you see what happens. And what's amazing is that it worked. They did. They came off of that mountain and they went and they said. And they baptized people in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and they taught people about the love of Jesus, and it went bigger and bigger and bigger until it became the empire. And now for 2,000 years, that very same task has been given to people generation after generation after generation. Just like Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Jesus, all the way through the ages to you, sitting here right now. You and me. And the doctrine of the church won't mean a thing until it lands in your heart. Because Jesus is saying to you, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. I'm giving it to you. And I want you to go and I want you to say. So when you get to Houston, say. You may not even use words, but say. Say that Christ is risen. Say that you believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Say that we believe that this thing is real and true. And every hand that you shake, every meal that you serve, every shovel that you pick up, every blister that you get on your hands, is you saying that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Go. Say. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.